everybody, and welcome back to It Was a Good Game, Both Teams Played
Both
Hard.
Both teams played hard.
How are you doing, Ellen?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Hub?
I'm pretty well, but I feel like you just upstaged me with your answer.
Well, I thought it would be funny.
Touche.
I also don't like to conform. You know that.
Yeah.
We've met.
You're a real iconoclast. All right, you ready to get this game started?
Ready.
All right. We're putting 10 minutes on the clock, and we're off.
I think we have to talk about the Golden State Warriors. It's kind of everything that everybody's talking about in basketball.
And it's hard not to talk about them this year.
It's hard not to talk about them. It's true. So I keep hearing phrases like, best team of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's accurate?
I don't know. I think that's such a difficult metric to judge anything by because they can't play the other teams from all time, which is frustrating to me. Like, I want there to be a tournament where it's like, first they have to play the 96 Bulls, then they have to play the 84 Celtics.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's get a time machine, put people's money where their mouths are, and see. Although it would be weird if they played the 96 Bulls because their coach was on that team.
Their coach was on that team.
So, gonna be confusing.
Well, we could have Bill Walton stand in as the coach, but then he would only be like 14.
Luke Walton.
I mean, Luke Walton, yeah.
Yeah. I think they should have Bill Walton
stand
in. Well,
actually, yeah, now that I brought it up.
Right.
Bill Walton should be the...
Right.
And the Grateful Dead should obviously be the bench.
Clearly.
So here's what this is making me think of.
Okay.
When we're talking best teams of all time, and I honestly really resent the back and forth between every talk show, radio, like sports talk show, where they talk about, you know, if Jordan in his heyday played LeBron, you know, like in
right.
all of these, it's boring, it's tedious, and
yeah.
it's repetitive, it's
right.
redundant. Like, I just am over it. But one thing that I've noticed and one thing that I find really interesting about all these teams is, you know, you and I have a lot of experience in bars,
mm-hmm.
and we are both pretty intuitive people when it comes to bar patrons,
yes.
and we know when people suck or not pretty
yeah.
quickly. I can't think of a single team that I'm aware of, and I don't have, like, my basketball data in my head does not go back as far as yours does, or as accurately, but I can't think of a championship team recently that I wouldn't want to drink with. And
Ooh.
I think it speaks to the magic that has to happen. Like, there has to, you can't, it's like writing a sitcom. You can't just have good actors and a good script. There has to be some sort of magic, some sort of cohesive magic that happens. And the same happens with a team. That's what happened with the Red Sox. That's
yep.
what happened with, well, it's not exactly what happened with Heat.
No.
But that brings up
But I would like
point.
To hang out and drink with the Heat. Here's actually, there is one team that I would not want to. I would not want to drink with the, what is it, 2007 Celtics? I don't
oh,
think that
oh,
would be a
Oh, I would
of,
totally drink
do?
With them. Do you know how much, so that, so, do you remember, I feel like those guys seemed like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah.
They did.
Well, when they had Ray Allen, I feel like he
when
was like kind
Ray
of
Allen.
Their heart. But at the same time, man, I don't ever want to go out for drinks with Rondo and Pierce.
I don't think Rondo and Pierce were those guys back then.
I think Pierce was.
They were bruisers, but they weren't the Rondo and Pierce that we know now. I think that they were a lot more humble. I thought that they were a lot more sort of like, I don't want to say carefree, but fun to drink with. Like, I think I could see myself having a lot of fun having a beer with Mr. Pierce in 2007. I don't think Pierce now would be fun to drink with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have fun drinking with those guys. I don't think Rondo has ever been humble or carefree.
Really? Even his rookie year?
No. Because I don't know if it was his rookie year or his year after his rookie year that he first made it to the All-Star game where I first saw interviews with him. And I was like, oh man, I wanted to like him so much.
Oh yeah.
And no.
What'd he say?
That's the thing. I don't even remember. It was things along the lines of, so you must be pretty excited to be here. It's like, nah, I belong here. Like
Dick.
Things like that, you know?
Yeah. But that actually might be why it's drinking with the team. Because like Klay Thompson wouldn't be fun to drink with, but
no.
he would be fun to drink with if Drummond was there. And, or I'm sorry, not Drummond. Whoa.
Draymond Green?
Draymond, yes. Draymond and Curry, if they were there, I think that they make Klay Thompson fun.
Yeah, I can see that. And also, I think you're forgetting Andrew Bogut. Australians are fun to drink with.
Bogut would be fun to drink with. And I, but this, so this whole thought process brought me to the Cavaliers. I can't think of a single era that I would have thought LeBron would be fun to have a drink with. Not a single fucking era.
Oh, I do. I think era? He would be fun to, I think he would be now.
Now?
I like LeBron.
I picture LeBron, I picture going to a bar with LeBron and him insisting on the bottle service and the velvet rope.
Well, okay, I don't know if this has come up yet, but that's my basketball nickname.
The velvet rope.
Yes, because you think I'm soft, but you can't cross me. Now, it would make a lot more sense if I was much taller and a good defender at basketball, which I am not, but like many things, my life would make so much more sense if...
Like drinking in a bar true. Behind a velvet rope, that would make more sense because that's your nickname?
No, no, I'm just saying my life in general would make more sense if I was good at defense and tall. Because then my nickname would be the velvet rope and all the pieces would fall into place. But... I don't know. I don't dreaming. I don't see...
Why do you think LeBron would be fun to have a drink with?
I am putting so much of this into his performance in Trainwreck.
I was going to say, if you had... Because the Trainwreck was the first time that I thought, he seems like a fun guy. But yeah, he seems like a fun guy because Amy Schumer wrote his lines.
Yeah.
And he pulled them off. I mean, he certainly pulled them off.
He's a charismatic guy. I mean, Yeah, I think he is.
I don't think he's charismatic.
Okay. Would you rather hang out with him or Tim Duncan?
Oh, that's not a fair comparison. I'm going to say Tim Duncan, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because you've seen me when I get around people who won't talk and don't have reactions to things. I have way more fun. I have way more fun. I would fuck so hard with Tim Duncan. And I would make things up that he said. I would pick fights in his honor.
You would have a good time hanging out.
I would have a really good time. I would have him stand up and cross his arms on the dance floor and then dance around his legs like a stripper pole.
Okay. So is that the context that you would have fun having drinks and partying with those Spurs teams that won championships? Because I don't think they seem like a lot of fun.
No, they don't seem like a lot of fun. Kawhi Leonard seems fun.
Yeah, but he wasn't there yet.
No, so I disagree now that I'm really thinking about it because I think that Parker and Ginobili and who's the other? Patty Mills.
Yeah, Patty Mills is fun.
Patty Mills is a party. But I'll bet you when they get together, I like a dry sense of humor.
Sure.
And they are very dry. Clearly, they're very dry. I think that they're sort of like boring presence on the basketball court.
I think Tim Duncan would actually probably be fun to hang out with.
I'll bet he would be fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, so...
I don't get the impression that LaMarcus Aldridge would be fun to hang out with.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
LaMarcus spent how many years in Portland? And there was never... We loved LaMarcus because of the numbers he put up.
Yeah.
We loved him because of that. But we didn't love LaMarcus because, you know, because he went to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
You know, like...
No, that was why we loved
that was Robin why we loved Lopez. And Robin was here a fraction of the time.
He was here for 2 years.
Yeah. And the fan response to Robin compared to LaMarcus in that amount of time.
Although, and I hate to say this, a fair amount of that... Robin Lopez was a very charismatic, good guy.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the reason why people in this town embraced him the way that they did is because he was white and had that personality. Like, people loved Channing Frye, too, but not in the same way. And granted, he wasn't as good a player, but he had that kind of fun personality. And the town didn't embrace him the same way. People didn't dislike him, but they weren't like, oh, yeah!
Sounds like you've been having a conversation with Mr. Zach Randolph.
Yep. We are thick as thieves.
Because you remember when Zach left, and when Zach kept getting in trouble, he kept saying it was because he was black. And I am not saying that Portland is an easy city to be black in. It is a white, white, white city.
Yeah.
But Zach had more problems than being black.
No, I think his main problem was that he was a giant ninja turtle. That's a difficult situation for anyone in any city. I mean, they generally live in the sewers.
Yeah.
His
dad's a rat. He did live in the sewers, but he lived in the sewers with like 8-inch gold chains, like 8-inch thick gold chains.
Yeah.
Like his...
Well, it was a nice part of the sewer. Oh! All right, and we're on to quarter number two, putting 10 minutes back on the clock. So, we were talking about Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Damian Lillard's response when he was asked if he was doing his best Steph Curry impression when he scored 24 points in rapid succession?
No, that's a shitty question.
Yeah, and his response was awesome.
What was it?
No. And then a long-ass pause, and then when the reporter started talking again, he said, I'm just being Damian Lillard, but cut him off to say that after a long pause. It was terrific.
Yeah, because any basketball player in the NBA that puts up more than 10 points is clearly doing a Steph Curry impression.
Yeah.
What a dipshit. Who was that reporter?
I don't know. I should look into it, but I just loved his response to it.
Yeah.
Kind of the perfect answer is just like, nope. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. He has been playing so good lately.
Oh, he's been doing awesome. Yeah,
41 points last night in an overtime win. Portland is a lot of fun to watch right now. We've been talking about this. They were on a super big tear. Had a 3-game losing streak at the end of their last road trip.
Which was kind of weird because they should have won all those games.
They were close. They were in all of them. It was the heartbreaking one for me was the Toronto where it was by two points. And it was an overtime loss where Damian scored 51 points.
Well,
what sucks was they took like 26 more free throws than we did in that game.
Was Tony Brothers officiating?
Probably. I don't know for sure, but man, he sure doesn't like Portland.
So you pointed out to me that Tony Brothers hates Portland.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah.
And so over, the last several years, I've been sort of watching, and now it's gotten to this point where when I even hear his name, I cringe.
Yeah.
Because he is such a fucking awful official for Portland.
Yeah.
He hates us.
Yeah, he really does. I don't know what happened to him. Like, I feel like Portland did something
Maybe
to him.
Maybe Ruben Patterson raped him.
We took something from him. Yeah, well, it's one of those where if you go into any room and ask people to raise their hands if they've been sexually assaulted by Ruben Patterson, you're going to be surprised, no matter where you are in the country, 5 or 6 hands are going up.
We were talking about the Celtics the last quarter.
Yeah.
And I was saying that the Celtics, the first championship Celtics team, the recent.
Yeah.
2007.
There was only the one.
Oh, I thought they had two.
No, they went to the finals 2 years in a row, but they only won the first one.
Oh, I thought they won two. Well, so that team, I thought that they were fun. They would have been fun that 1 year. And then they turned into this team that I really despised.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened with a lot of teams, that's happened with every team that has won multiple championships. So my question is, when do you think that's going to happen with the Warriors and when?
I don't know.
Like, what is the magic that disappears there? Is it too many agents? Is it too many shoe deals? Is it too much publicity, too much public involvement in their face? Like, what is it that changes the team that takes them from like this sort of a lovable athletes to being more like these?
I think the seeds have to be there for it before any of that change takes place. Because like you said, like whether or not they're fun or charismatic, those Spurs teams, I don't think their character has changed over the years.
No.
I don't think they've gone from being one type of team to another type of team. And I also don't know how much of us viewing players and teams that way is just our perception of it and us like, I was rooting for them because they were the scrappy underdogs, mm-hmm. and now I don't like them anymore because they're not.
What do you think is different about the Spurs? Is it just Popovich?
I think he's a big part of it. I think also the fact that they're a small market team that has had that kind of success. I don't think they get the same endorsement deals. I think there is that a different level of celebrity attached to teams. And I think the combination of Popovich keeping them in check and that being a team system and them having it drilled into them that it is the team, it is not you.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. And I also do think being in a small market probably has a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
Which is why the Portland Trailblazers will always be lovable, wonderful people.
They always will.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I think we have that dynamic. I think we are getting there and we're getting even better.
Well, here's one thing that I wanted to bring up. I hesitate to do it because I think we might run out of time, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. We can just talk longer. There are some very interesting free agents coming up next year.
On the Blazers?
Across
the league.
We have one, I think, gaping hole in our starting lineup, and that is the power forward position. I think Noah Vonleh could turn into that player. I don't think Myers Leonard has the potential. I think we've talked about that before. I think he could be a great guy coming off the bench. But people that could play power forward position for us, you got Kevin Durant. I know he's a small forward by position, but can you imagine plugging him into that system?
Oh, yes, I can.
You got Dwight Howard is going to be a free agent.
Come home, Kevin. We have so much cap space.
I know. That's the thing. That's the amazing thing. Yeah, let's get both of them. Fuck it. Let's get Joakim Noah as a backup. He's going to be a free agent next year, too.
Do you think that Durant and Howard would function well together?
I don't know.
Because I think that this brings back this magic idea. Like this, the gelling.
I think Durant, we talked about Durant if he could be plugged into the Golden State position. I think that was last week.
Yeah.
But I think he could be plugged into Portland. I think he would be great.
He would be a wonderful complimentary superstar
to Damian Lillard. I think they would play together really well. We absolutely should have, but if we did, then we wouldn't have Damian Lillard because we wouldn't have any draft picks coming up. We don't know what's going to fucking happen. You get a butterfly effect.
If you think about the enormity of ego and bullshit that Durant has to put up with between Ibaka and Westbrook...
And to do that and have to live in Oklahoma City?
Yeah. Not to mention, what's that little German guy with the blonde patch?
Oh, Schroeder?
That guy was a problem.
Wait, was he with them?
Wasn't he? Oh, he was with the Pistons.
No, he was with Atlanta, I think.
Oh, Atlanta? Why am I getting that so wrong?
I don't know.
Who am I? There is somebody that left Oklahoma City, and they left in a really shitty
Reggie
way.
Reggie Jackson left in a shitty way.
That's totally who I'm thinking of. It's because they're little. I get Reggie Jackson, Schroeder, and Isaiah Thomas confused frequently. Because they're all pretty similar players. Like players, like, on the court. They're not similar personality-wise.
Right.
I think Schroeder is a giant asshole.
I don't know anything about Schroeder.
He's an asshole.
Okay.
I also think Reggie Jackson, the way he left, was really shitty. Like, I just remember him saying shitty stuff out the door.
Yeah.
Like, and he, I don't know. I think that's inappropriate and unprofessional.
Yeah, I agree. But I would be hard-pressed not to say shitty things about Oklahoma City. I love saying shitty things about Oklahoma City. Granted, I never worked for them. And those weren't my friends and teammates.
I have a soft spot for Kevin Durant. And
yeah,
so,
I do too. I love Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Reggie Jackson say shitty things about Kevin Durant?
He said shitty things about the whole team, and I can't remember specifics.
Like, if he went out and was just like, you know what, fuck Westbrook, fuck Ibaka, then I'd be like, all right, Reggie Jackson, all right. He also has been doing great for Detroit this year.
Yeah, he's been doing awesome. He's scary. Him and Drummond. Like, between him and Drummond, we can't beat them.
Oh, God. Drummond is going to be a free agent next year, too.
Oh, we need Drummond. We need Drummond.
He's another one. I would love Drummond. I think he'd be amazing.
Oh my God.
Man, there's so many good free agents coming up next year.
Don't we
have so much
salary
space.
Gerald Henderson?
I don't know if we do. I don't know if he's coming up for free agency next year.
We might need to re-sign.
He's been great. Yeah. He's been so good. And when he got that technical he got a technical and got another player ejected last night because they got into a fight. I love Gerald Henderson. He's great. He's great.
He's been doing awesome.
He's been terrific for us.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with the Gerald Henderson.
I am too.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
And you know who else I like? I like Mo Harkless a lot. I wish he was getting a little bit more playing time, but he's been solid for us. I like him as a bench guy. And I think
Harkless.
He has the potential, too. We've got so many young athletic players that are really good.
Yeah. If they can just keep their confidence levels up. I think right now, especially when they're young, I think just keeping the confidence levels up, that's huge.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm trying to make the buzzer go off because I think we should probably move on to halftime. Bam, bam, bam. Oh, geez. Looks like time's up. So I found something out interesting, Ellen.
What's that, Hub?
I've been shitting like a goddamn caveman my whole life.
Oh my, that sounds terrible.
It's terrible, and most of you are doing it.
How do you remedy that?
Well, what you do is you get a bidet toilet seat from Brundell.
What's a bidet toilet seat?
It's a toilet seat that when you sit on the toilet, it shoots water up your butt to clean your butt so you're not a goddamn caveman.
Wait a second. Have people done this before? Is this some new technology that I need to be wary of?
Both. It's fantastic new technology that's building on age-old technology of water cleaning things.
Huh.
People have been using water to clean things since at least 1960.
Is water superior to toilet paper?
Water is superior to toilet paper in every way. It's the universal solvent. Toilet paper is the one thing solvent, and it does a terrible job.
Why does it do a terrible job?
Because it's a fucking tree.
But I can't check the water.
Just use a goddamn bidet! Just use a goddamn bidet. Stop shitting like a caveman. Talk to the good people at Brundell. And we're back from halftime. We're going to put another 10 minutes on the clock and start the second half.
Hub, I've been reading an article in Sports Illustrated about Dirk Nowitzki.
Is it the swimsuit issue?
It's not.
Ah, pictures in that were very disappointing.
Very disappointing.
And
well, not disappointing.
Titillating.
Because they showed him with frosted tips.
That was...
Not just him, but Steve Nash as well.
Oh, man. I totally forgot that Steve Nash had frosted tips.
Yeah,
and it was amazing.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I can't wait for the highlight reels when Dirk...
The highlight reels?
...retires. So, Dirk has this... I mean, there's a lot to be said about Dirk Nowitzki's career. And like, the first thing that I think of when I think of Dirk is, like, that insane... The jumper that he has that nobody can defend.
Yeah.
And LaMarcus kind of...
LaMarcus has the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. But Dirk is really unemotional when he talks about his departure from the NBA. And it says he's not going to say it's his last year. He says when he's gone, he's gone.
Huh.
Yeah.
Be nice if Kobe adopted that attitude.
That's not Kobe's style.
No.
Dirk's not going to do a farewell Dirk tour. But how would a farewell Dirk tour really go? Would anybody really show up for that?
I would.
Would you?
I like Dirk.
I picture Dirk sitting on the bench through his farewell tour.
I think that he would sit on the bench if he was like, I'm no longer the best player at that position. That's my Dirk Nowitzki impression. I know it didn't sound
spot
German.
Spot on.
Yeah, thank you. But
yeah,
like
so
he wouldn't do
that
Kobe thing where he's just like, no, I'm a fucking starter. I'm going to start in the All-Star game because
exactly.
I'm me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, very few people do the I'm retiring at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
You know? Like, nobody does that.
Yeah, Derek Jeter did.
Derek Jeter did. Yeah. But,
yeah, huh.
I mean, Ray. I still feel like Ray Allen might sign with the team.
Oh, yeah. You never know.
Yeah, he's not.
He hasn't ruled out the possibility.
Yeah, he's not. He's just hanging out there in the balance.
God, I love Ray Allen.
I do too.
I saw an interesting thing that actually ties Dirk Nowitzki to Ray Allen.
Yeah.
Through a little man named Michael Finley, who I also always fucking loved.
Uh-huh.
About a year ago, I was watching the NBA Highlights channel.
Yeah.
The Hardwood Classics, whatever. NBA Classics. That's
yes.
what it's called. They were showing the slam dunk competition from, I think it was 1997, and the two people going head-to-head in it were Ray Allen and Michael Finley.
How?
In a slam dunk competition, because that's their used to be their fucking games.
I don't even fucking remember that, and I'm a Sonics fan.
Yeah. Well, this was when he was with the Bucks.
Well,
but yeah.
You would think I would remember that.
I would hope so, but apparently not.
Thanks for delving deeper into a very painful topic.
I'm sorry. The Seattle Supersonics.
Yes.
I will never bring them up again.
They are talking about possibly building a new stadium right now. Like, they're actually getting really close to building a stadium in Seattle on Occidental. And they would have basketball and hockey there.
Mm.
So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, no, maybe you guys could get a nice D-League team.
Yeah, that's really nice of you to say.
You know, it's a place to start.
Yeah, it's a place to start.
You know,
because God knows we're starting from ground zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. But it was fucking amazing. So are there any players right now who have... Like, do you think either of the guys that were, like, going head-to-head in that fucking amazing slam dunk competition have the ability to turn their game into, like, outside shooters, like, the way that Ray Allen and Michael Finley did? They always had that aspect to their game, but, like, what kind of, like, current high flyers?
Okay, so that, I'm really bad with remembering the names. The kid that he's from Washington, actually, from Seattle, from the Seattle area. What was his name? He was incredible. I think he won.
Was it the Zach LaVine, the guy who plays for the Timberwolves?
Yeah.
Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon were the two guys.
I'm thinking of LaVine.
Yeah.
So the reason why I think that Levine could turn his game into an outside shooting game is because the amount of precision it took to execute the dunks that he executed. When you saw them in slow motion, they were fucking flawless.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw them fast, I was like, I almost didn't see that shit.
Right.
And then they showed him in slow motion, and I was like, oh, holy shit, this guy's doing yoga in the air. Like, it was insane, the shit that he was doing in the air. I think that the amount of fortitude that it takes to execute those sorts of dunks,
yeah,
and just, not even just the dunks, you know, like, it's the entire workmanship, like, that goes up to the basket.
Gotcha.
You have to be really, really, really dedicated to making a shot work. And if anybody has to be dedicated to making a shot work, it has to be an outside shooter.
Yeah.
Because nobody's, it's not so much about the defenders. It's when you get down in there in the paint and stuff, you have to be really on it with the defenders. And how do you do that? Like, that's when you develop the Dirk Nowitzki jumper, because you have to, you know, ward off the defenders. When you're outside, it's not quite so much about the defenders. It's more, yeah, about how fucking spot on is your shot. Because if your shot is not spot on, they're not going to defend you at all. They're not going to come anywhere near you. They're going to let you shoot up there all day because it's just a turnover.
Right. Interesting. That brings up a couple of things. First of all, Damian Lillard. I forgot that he competed in the dunk competition like 2 years ago. And he totally has already become an amazing, like, he started off that way, but he's even more of an outside threat than he ever has been in his career. Yeah. Having a fucking amazing year. Love the guy. I don't want to get boring and just keep talking about how great Damian Lillard is, but I could.
Preach.
Second of all, what do you think about the idea of inserting defenders into a slam dunk competition?
Well,
I kind of like the idea.
I'll tell you why I like the idea. It's because there are no defenders in the All-Star game.
That's true.
So, yes. If we're going to talk, I mean, because there's no All-Star defender game.
I think that you should have to, like, that it should be, like, not a reward, but a penalty to be a defender in the slam dunk game, that they pick the guy who has been dunked on the most, like, preferably a big. And they make him be the guy that everybody has to try to dunk over. Because you know he's going to end up on some posters that way. But
then the dunks won't be as fun to watch.
It'd be pretty fun to watch. Like, when you look at, like, when they talk about, like, posterizing somebody, like, the most exciting dunks that in games are the ones where it's, like, not clear court, but him just going over somebody.
So those are the exciting games for dunks for you and I to watch. But I kind of think that the All-Star game, the whole All-Star weekend, I think that's all about sort of
being fun for the play,
advertising thing to pull in new fans.
Yeah.
So if you're a new fan to basketball and you don't understand how to, because they make the shit look easy.
Right.
So if you're not accustomed to just knowing how difficult these shots are, will it be as exciting for a new fan?
I don't know. I'm already starting to go back on the idea for one reason. I think it will discourage people from playing defense during the regular season. If, like, because, like, if you try to defend a guy and you get dunked on, and then you end up, like, being like, yeah, this is the player that has to defend in the All-Star game. Maybe if there has to be a lottery, I don't know. I think there is a way to make it work.
The game is evolving. I mean, I was just thinking when you said that would I mind if the NBA evolved into a league where it was just about scoring and not defending? I'm not sure I would.
Huh.
If they're penalized sort of for defending and it just turned into this scoring game, would that be such a bad thing?
I think it's already happened to a large extent.
I think so too.
I was watching some old footage recently of the 90s Knicks, and they were an ugly team to watch. Like, I mean, boring, both physically and in terms of their game. And, man, everything they did would have been called a foul these days. Like
what?
Just playing aggressive defense and, like, bodying people up. And, like, they would have been called for a foul on pretty much every single defensive position.
Yeah, it irritates me that took actual, because I view a foul as, like, in some way, like, physically, like, moving someone with your body is a foul, right?
Yeah.
But they're like, no, he didn't stick his elbow out.
Yeah.
That's not a foul. It's not a foul. As long as his arm stayed inside, it's pretty shitty.
Well, man, back then they were pretty much just like, but if you didn't throw a closed-fisted punch, it wasn't called a foul.
Did they even have technicals back then?
Yeah. I mean, technically.
But there was no limit. Big ups to Rashid.
All right, and we're back. I'm going to put another 10 minutes on the clock as soon as I figure out how my fucking phone works. And here we go. All
right.
So, we're talking about technical fouls, the way that rule changes in the game of cost. What changes would you like to make in the NBA?
Oh, as far as rules?
One thing that I would definitely do, get rid of the t-shirt jerseys that people are fucking wearing. Jerseys. It's ridiculous.
They make me angry.
Yeah, they can be sartorial.
You know how I feel about sleeves. I personally wear tank tops every day.
Yeah.
And I'm not a basketball player.
You're not?
Not a professional one.
From now on, you tell me everything.
Agreed. Agreed.
Okay.
But I do not like sleeves.
No, no. They're
and
constricting.
As if I were a professional athlete, I would be pissed about those sleeves. And the reason that the NBA gives for the sleeves.
Oh, God.
Is that it makes the fans buy more jerseys.
Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely the reason.
Yeah. You know what I say? The NBA has a lot of money. Invest that shit in your marketing department. Don't change the players' jerseys, which can potentially change their game.
Well, and in addition to that, you're not going to look like LeBron if you're wearing a LeBron jersey. You're just not.
Are you sure?
No, I've tried it. Doesn't work.
Because I didn't look like him with a tank top. But I think
But you think maybe
sleeves,
if you had sleeves, people wouldn't be able to tell the difference?
You know.
Yeah. I mean, so that's one thing.
Infuriating. Yes, that is. I would change that.
I would not mind seeing the ABA ball being used. I always liked the red, white, and blue basketball. I don't think that's an important change. It doesn't necessarily need to be made. But if each team, like part of the home team thing, was that you get to choose your own basketball, I'd be okay with that.
So this is something that was really, really quietly done in the NBA, is that they have slowly, slowly, over the last several years, started regimenting the number of colors and the sizes of the letters on the jerseys. So every team is no longer, they don't have freedom to choose exactly how their name looks on their jerseys. Like the Trailblazers went down to two colors and they've been three colors forever. Mm-hmm. It's been black, four colors, I'm sorry. It's been red, black, white, and then there's this gray shadow. Yeah. And now it's three colors. And it's just going to keep getting more regimented until all the jerseys look the same.
I'm confused, Ellen. I thought this was America.
It is the NBA.
You're right. They've got a team in Toronto.
Yep.
Do you think that's why? Do you think it's because Canadians are intimidated or upset by having that level of freedom?
Well, that and the games in Mexico.
Touche.
I think that probably had a lot to do with it. I don't like the conformity. I would prefer to see every single team be able to use their creative palette while designing their jersey without really having to conform to anything except for have it be a jersey.
Yeah.
Other than that, do whatever you want.
Yeah, and if you don't want to have it be a jersey, if the players don't, have them wear some chainmail out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
No, that would be terrible. No, that's a bad idea. I don't
want
to
see DeMarcus Cousins with chainmail.
That's terrifying.
I know.
He would destroy us all.
I know. And no helmets either while we're at this.
No helmets.
No helmets. Headbands allowed. Only cloth. See, we're already starting it. We're becoming the NBA.
Oh, God, we're the worst. Okay, any rule changes to the game you'd like to see?
Well,
you want to put in a 4-pointer?
I would like to put in a 10-pointer.
Okay, where would the 10-pointer be? Would it be like the old Rock and Jock challenge where it's like from there's a single spot on the floor that's like painted out?
Exactly.
And if you hit it from that spot, it's worth 10?
Yeah, both feet have to be fully inside the small circle. And if you hit it from there, you get 10 points.
Okay.
I would like that. I would also like, well, and this is really, I mean, I hadn't thought about this question at all. And so this is just, I'm pulling this out of my ass. But I think it would be interesting to see if they would limit the number of player changes they can make in a quarter. That would change things up a little. Like maybe
that would be kind of
maybe you can only, like, every position has a different number. You can only change your guards 4 times. You can only change your center twice.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thought.
Per quarter.
Sure. How about if, you know how you get 5 fouls on non-shooting calls before you get to make the free throws?
Yeah.
On it. What if you get a couple of technical fouls before anybody gets to shoot? Or you get, like, a couple free technical fouls. A couple free flagrant fouls.
You mean the team?
Yeah.
The team. Okay.
Or the team gets 1 free flagrant foul a game.
I don't want to
fuck up with players.
You know how
that's what it would
in
do.
Football?
Like, I want it to be like, just be like, they can get one, like, how about 1 free technical foul? Not a flagrant foul, but like, 1 player gets to say 1 really fucked up thing to the other team once a game.
Yeah, once in the microphone.
Yeah.
I think that every coach should have, like in football, I think that they should have a flag. Where they can throw it on the court.
Oh, where they can challenge a call.
And challenge the call, exactly.
I think that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, and how many a game do you think they should be allowed? 2? Is 2 a fair number?
I think 2 is a fair number.
The number of horrible calls that are made in an NBA game?
Here's another thing I would do.
I also don't want to watch a game where it's just constant challenges. So well, yeah,
and,
2 a game.
Well, and here's what you do to make up for that. No timeouts in the first half.
No timeouts in the first half. Actually, I just thought of an addendum to the challenge rule. You get 2 challenges a game, but you can collate all of your challenges throughout the year. So if you don't challenge a single call in the
then
first
at the end of
10
the...
games, then you have 20 in that 21st game.
Oh, geez.
In that 11th game.
Wow, so they're cumulative.
Yeah, I like
okay.
that. Like the carryover minutes.
No, I like that.
Yeah.
You're welcome, NBA. We just saved the game.
Saved the game. Yeah, now it'll be successful. Yeah, I have no other rule changes that I can think of. No, yeah, I do.
What you got?
Every single team has to have 1 player under 5'7".
Okay, I like that.
Mm-hmm. On the active pro list, not in D-League.
All right. How about if the mascot scores, then it's worth 10 points?
Well, you'd have to check in the mascot during the game.
Well, the mascot could be one of the other players, but he would have to wear the costume.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he has to be one of the players on the court. He has to be one of your 5. You know, we had 6 players.
But if we're limiting the number of substitutions you can have during a game, then...
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, gosh.
Yeah, I mean, and if the mascot's on the court, are you allowed to have a trampoline?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, you get a trampoline.
Well, Paul George is going to break his leg.
That's going to happen either way.
Okay. I'll allow it.
All right. So we got trampolines. We got mascots. Don't have any sleeves.
No sleeves, for
no
sure.
No helmets.
No helmets.
Thanks a lot, Ellen.
Yeah. And no chainmail.
Man, that would be something with those trampolines, though.
What if... Should there be negative points? If the mascot
yes.
misses his shot... It's negative whatever he was going
yes,
for.
And he does get to use the trampoline.
Ooh, and that's another rule for the 10-point marker. If you miss that shot, you're deducted 10 points.
I think if you miss the shot, you're deducted 2 points. Okay. I don't think it should be a full 10.
Because 10 is too detrimental?
Yeah.
Okay.
And because if you're taking the 10-pointer, chances are you're down by 8 points
if you
already.
Have 1 foot in the circle, do you get 5 points?
No, you get no points.
No points?
No points for 1 foot in the circle.
I think we're saving the NBA.
Yeah, you're welcome, world.
So what about this, they call it the Mark Jackson rule, where you just stand with your
where
back.
Where you get fired for no reason?
Yeah, that one. Also, like, well, actually, that reminds me. Well, I was going to bring up the 5 seconds with your back to the basket thing. Like, I think that that's a fucking lame rule. I think you should be able
you
to
You should be
do
able
that.
To back people down.
Yeah, I think you
I
should.
Think that's one of those, like, okay, I agree that the whole hack-a-shack thing makes for boring basketball
it
to watch.
It certainly does.
But I think people should be, I think players should be penalized for not being good at, better at free throws.
Yeah.
Like, if you want that technique to not work, work on your fucking free throws.
It's a coaching
and then they don't
strategy.
Do it.
And I think yeah. that it's a smart strategy.
It absolutely is.
And it doesn't make me angry that it's a
It doesn't make me angry, but it does make for a boring game to watch
It makes
sometimes.
A boring game.
Yeah.
But back to the Mark Jackson thing. I was listening to an interview with Kurt Rambis. Yeah. And you know, the Knicks have struggled.
Oh!
Fourth quarter.
Well, that's all the time we have, folks. It was a good game.
Both teams played hard.